My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Yeah, so
I wonder if what took place today at all affects the thinking for the Giants, because on the one hand, you had the Giants get eliminated in Baltimore, and on the other hand, you watched one of your free agent pursuits go absolutely historically gaga in Miami with three home runs and 10 runs batted in and join a club of one in the 51-51 club, 51 homers,
yeah, 51
steals.
Most
he might get to 60-60, darn it.
He might.
And I'm sure that today is not like, oh, well, based on today, that's it. He's got to go. But today was kind of a stark slap in the face of reality of, you know, the Dodgers have this going on. They put up a 20 spot, and you meekly went out in a matinee laydown in Baltimore.
With, like, was Donovan Walton in the game?
He sure was. Donnie Barrels 2.0.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. You know what I mean? Like, we were having this conversation the other day about, like, as a Giants fan, when was the last time you were excited? I at the end of the day, for me, that's the question. And I don't mean because you went to a game one time and the popcorn was warm and somebody hit a home run. You know what I mean? I ended up with great seats thanks to a good friend, and we went to one of the Giants-Dodger games where it was fireworks night and Brett Wisely hit a walk-off home run this year. That happened earlier this
year.
That's
about as good as it gets.
It was a ton of fun. But, like, did I go home and I'm like, I am excited about Giants baseball? No. No. When's the last time you had those butterflies, man? Like you did when the Niners were in the playoffs last year. When's the last time you felt excited? And I would argue, it's funny that this went this way. It was literally moments after I got here to start with you.
Jeez, 3 years ago.
Shasky's walking down the street with a flag on the Embarcadero, waving it. I had just met the guy. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? This is fun. And the Giants were about to play the Dodgers in the playoffs. And it didn't go well, but it was a hell of a series and a hell of a year, and it was hard not to feel optimistic. It was hard not to feel like the Giants hadn't cracked some sort of a code. That's how it felt then. And there were those at the time who said, this is a facade. This is not real. All the breaks have gone the Giants' way. And through the next 3 years, those opinions have proven to be accurate. And I don't know if I've felt Giants butterflies since then. I almost fainted at a game one time a year ago with my son. It was Little League Day. He got invited to the game through his Little League. We went, me and him, Father Sunday, and Patrick Bailey in a game that the Giants should have had 100 different ways. And then they were about to gaff it in extra innings. The auto runner had scored, and the Giants were down by one, and then the first guy made an out, and the second guy made an out, and you're just like, we're going home, dude. I can't believe this. And Patrick Bailey from the right side rifled a home run down the left field line, And me and my youngest son were jumping up and down so high that I almost fell. So high!
Totally.
I almost fell. It was like, so there have been moments, but I'm waiting for like, when's the last time I walked to the car? And I'm like, I think we got something this year.
I can't wait to get back here, right?
Not the entire 3 years. And here you are, like Brandon Ayuk, you got to show it. This is a results-based industry. And 3 years is too long.
Yeah.
It's too long to feel that way. So.
And you're not alone.
Oh, God.
You're not alone.
I was the last one to get here.
Right. And I mean, you look at today is a good example. Anthony Santander walks you off with home run number 42 this year. And the Giants' leading home run hitter is Matt Chapman, who's got 24 homers. So it'll be another year, it looks like, unless Chappie hit 6 home runs over the last 9 games, which he's allowed to do that. And if not, it'll be another year where a Giant slugger does not reach 30 home runs. Meanwhile, you're watching Shohei Ohtani hit 3 today and get to 51. And Anthony Santander walks you off in Baltimore with his 42nd. And you look around baseball, and it seems like every other team has somebody hitting 30 at least. And it's now been, what, 15 years since you've had somebody hit 30 in a season?
Gosh, yeah.
Back to Bonds, right?
Yeah.
So almost 20 years. Not quite 20, but it's been, you know, since before your kids were born, for crying out loud. So,
Not
that the home run's everything, but it would be nice to have a little bit of that sizzle.
It would be, but then again, I mean, the Giants won 3 World Series during that window where no one hit 30 home runs.
That's
so,
fair.
Like, I know we want that. This year's candidate, of course, was, they got Jorge Soler. Guy didn't even make it out of July, and he's now having one-on-one fights with iPads. Like, just a colossal disaster of a signing. And they were lucky, sort of like an awkward feather in Farhan's cap in that he signed him, but then he also was able to wiggle out from underneath it, which ends up being a good thing. But, yeah, be that as it may, sometimes I don't think you know what the excitement is or where it's going to come from. You just have to feel it. So this isn't about, like, it's not as simple as who'd you sign in the offseason. Because, come on, you watched what he did in the offseason and you gave it your stamp of approval. We all did.
Yeah.
We all did. But it didn't work. It didn't work. And this is an organic thing, which is everybody getting excited about a franchise. Sometimes you don't see that coming. You don't know exactly how it's happening, who becomes iconic. Hunter Pence shows up in a car in the middle of a game, in the middle of a season. Next thing you know, he's got a scooter, and he'll never leave San Francisco again. I don't know who those guys are, but they're not here yet. And this year's had some interesting young players come up, some not-so-interesting young players come up. Is Bryce Eldridge going to continue and be some, like, the 20-year-old we've been waiting for next year? Maybe, but the bottom line is there's just still too many question marks and not enough butterflies. And so I actually don't even care who the hell runs the show. It just needs to be run better.
Well, the show itself is what matters. You're right. It doesn't matter who runs the show. The show has to be better because right now the show is pretty bland. And, you know, you look at your pitching and you've had some bright spots, although Logan Webb quietly over the second half of the year is not looking very ace-like to me. And, you know, Blake Snell, you think about him opting out and looking for more money. It just feels like the things that you've been able to hang your hat on that were positive this year, a lot of it's going to probably go away anyway.
I want to just reiterate real quick something that you referenced and make sure everybody heard what you said. Shohei Ohtani today, he didn't just hit 3 home runs. He went 6 for 6. He went 6 for 6 with 3 home runs, 10 RBIs, has become the first 50-50 man, that's 50 homers, 50 stolen bases, in the history of the game, yet he was the first 50-50 man for about 32 minutes.
Tops.
And then he became the first 51-51 man because he had 51 stolen bases at the start of the game and then came in with 48 home runs and went ding, dong, dead. And now has 51 of each, and the Dodgers are up 118-2 or something in Miami. That's what Shohei Ohtani did today, and it is nauseating.
Well, it's awesome. And
yes.
It's awesome.
And nauseating.
Right. I mean, if he had done it in any other color, amazing, other than Dodger blue,
yeah,
and it is nauseating because he's a Dodger, and he's probably always going to be a Dodger. And next year, you get to watch him pitch, too. And
you might get to watch him pitch in the playoffs.
Really?
They haven't ruled it out.
Well, I mean, I don't know. To
yeah,
me,
that'd be crazy.
Little, yeah, it'd be a little foolish. But yeah. And like you said earlier, might have been off the air, but it's rooting against the Dodger season officially. And
which I hate.
Yeah.
Because it means the Giants are out.
Exactly. Yeah. You'd rather root for your team. And of all the Dodgers that it's easy to root against, it's tough to root against Shohei Ohtani. Yeah, even though he's a Dodger, just because of maybe it's, I don't know, his happy face and his boyish charm and his unbelievable talent.
I've felt the same way as you know about Mookie Betts for a little while. Like, I don't, like, hate Mookie Betts. But understand this. If you adopt puppies, but you do it in a Dodger uniform, I hate puppies. Okay?
Let's go ahead and save that.
I'd like everybody to understand that. If you adopt puppies in a Dodger uniform, I hate puppies.
That's pretty hard.
Right?
It's pretty cruel.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's the way I'm built. Honestly say, sort of built for this.
Yeah.
So is Brock Purdy. Let's get back to the Niners. Brock Purdy speaks on Thursdays as the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. And here is a little stretch of his media availability today.
The Super Bowl that you figure the way the Chiefs played you guys, that would be a blueprint for other teams moving forward. Have you seen that over the first two games? Any kind of similarities in defensive approach to you and in your offense?
Honestly, I don't think so. Just the way the Jets run their defense, they ran it that way. The way Minnesota runs their defense, they ran it that way. So every team that we've played so far, it's only been two games, but in the two games that we've played, each defense has done what they've done. And they are who they are, and they compete that way. So I don't think I really have seen much of like any similarities with Kansas City. Each team has their own style of defense. So
Rams style still similar, even though number 99's not in there. They still want to emphasize with the D line coming at you.
Yeah, you know, they got some young guys up there, man, that are hungry and that fly around, and they're aggressive, and so we have a lot of respect for them. And so, and then their scheme outside of that, I think, is a little similar to how it was last year and stuff in terms of the coordinator that had left. But you know, very similar in that regard. But the guys up front still bring it. So.
After the game, you seem to compliment Flores' scheme a little bit. What is the challenge of that? Is it that it's mentally he speeds you up and then slows you down, and you got to find the soft spots in the zone, you got to find the rushers and who's coming, how many? What's the challenge of that defense?
I just think he does a really good job of disguising some stuff and dropping guys out or whatever, and so you know, he did a really good job with that. And so in that video, that's all I was trying to say was, you know, just give him his credit. Like, that was a good job that you did there. But nothing more than that. But like I said before in the last couple questions with, you know, that's what they've shown on tape and that's what they did in the game, you know, and they did a good job with that of making it look like one thing and then making it another. And, you know, their guys are all tied together really well. And, you know, they just, it's a bend but don't break kind of defense. And you know, they did a great job for four quarters of doing that. And they didn't change it up from what we saw on film. Like, they did it. And, And they executed really well. That was the biggest difference. So
much is made of your supporting cast over the last couple of years, ad nauseum almost. But now a lot of them aren't going to be there. How do you feel going into a game with some pretty key guys not playing?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, it sucks not having your guys and you know, like Debo and Christian and stuff. So it's like, all right, you know, how can we figure out to get the ball to other guys and stuff? But, man, we got playmakers. Like I've said that before, we got a really good scheme, great play caller, and some great players that, you know, step up in the roles and do their job really well. So for me, man, I still have to do my job in terms of my reads and my progressions more so than I need to now change the way I think and make sure I'm getting it to this guy or that guy. because a couple guys are out. It's not like that. So that's the challenge for me, is how can I continue to be better with my progressions and as a quarterback and handling situations and, you know, being as efficient as I can, regardless of who's in. So that's where my mindset is at with this game. And, you know, obviously I'd love to have my guys back and playing with them, but, you know, that's just how it is with this game sometimes.
When you watched the film from last week, did you feel like you weren't deciphering what you were seeing as quickly as you normally do?
I would say so. There was a couple plays where I dropped back and you know, for me, I just wasn't on top of my progressions and getting off certain reads and holding on to the ball a little bit in certain situations and plays. And so that's where, you know, I had to be better. And you know, it's football. You're not always going to be perfect. There's some plays like that are going to happen. But for me, I think it happened more than I wanted it to. And so, you know, I had to learn from it and grow from it. So, yeah.
Eric Saubert the ball a couple times the other day, I think. In case if George can't play this week, what's just kind of your comfort level with him and Jake specifically?
Yeah, I think Saubert has done a great job just coming in and doing his job well and knowing what our offense is, where his landmarks are supposed to be as a route runner. And then in the run game, he does a great job for our guys. And so he did a great job towards the end of the game, two-minute drill. He was right where he needed to be and caught a couple, you know, crucial catches and stuff. So, and he's got experience. He's played for a while now. So for me, as a quarterback, it gives me some comfort knowing that he's been in those situations and he's willing to, you know, understand what we're trying to do and then execute in the heat of the moment. So, and then Jake Tonjes, man, just seeing his progression from even last year till now of knowing our offense and being where he needs to be. And he's a smooth route runner. He's got great hands. So I'm excited for him and his opportunity, man. He's had a great camp and whenever his number's been called upon at practice or in some preseason games, I think he's done a great job. So I'm excited for both of them.
49ers fans historically travel really well to SoFi, times outnumbering the home fans there. Does it feel like a typical road game when you're in that environment? And does that help the offense when it comes to communication, maybe not having to go on silent counts in certain situations?
Yeah, I think that's huge. You know, for example, like last week going in Minnesota with the environment as it was and stuff, our operation, our cadence and everything is completely different in how we rep it at practice. So to be able to go down there and have our Niner fans show up, and you know, to be able to use our verbal cadence and stuff, it's huge for us. So we're obviously ready for any kind of situation if we do have to go on silent. But more than anything, man, we're proud to be playing for the Niners, and the faithful show up and have our backs, especially down in LA. So we're excited for that, and it's nice going down there and being able to, you know, hear each other and communicate. It's a big part of the game.
Some of the advanced metrics show that the receivers aren't getting quite the separation thus far that they did last year. What does the film show? And when they're not getting separation, do you have to throw more 50-50 balls? And does that add stress to the whole thing?
I mean, I have no idea, you know, what those metrics are or anything, but I think on film, you know, our guys are doing a good job. And it's just it comes down to execution between both of us, being where they need to be, and then me trusting and laying the ball and throwing the ball accurately time and time again. So, and that's just us being, you know, hard on ourselves, but that's also the standard that we have and that we've shown over the last couple of years. So I think our guys are doing a great job, and whatever the metrics are showing, if they're not getting open or stuff, that's, I don't really know if I believe any of that. I think it's really about, you know, me being efficient, them doing their job, and being on the same page. So yeah. Thanks, guys.
All right, there it is. Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
there goes Brock Shanahan. I like, it's absolutely beyond noticeable. He's not just running his plays, he's picked up his speech patterns.
Yeah, it's a little bit of an emulation sensation. He's hilarious. Emulating Shanahan, no doubt.
It's hilarious and stuff. But anyway,
cha-ching!
Yeah. What, anything stand out for me right there at the end where he's sort of trying to debunk the idea that the 49er receivers are not getting open?
And it really doesn't matter, and he's right about that part of it. And you can look at the metrics about, you know, how many yards of separation a guy has. If he is open even a little bit and the pass is there and he makes the catch, who cares how open a guy is? For me, a bigger issue with this offense so far has been the pass protection and the fact that the pressure rate for the 49ers is among the leaders in football, which is not what you want. I think he's been pressured on 25% of his dropbacks, and that's not a key to an offense that you know, wants to push the ball down the field. Last year, he was among the leaders in air yards per attempt, right, as a passer. And in order to do that, you have to give your quarterback some time. And through two games, he hasn't had a lot of time.
Yeah, yeah, that's absolutely a big piece of it. The weird in me is starting to almost look forward to this game just because I kind of, you know, I don't wish it on the Niners. I don't want it to last, and unfortunately it might. But I want to see this. I want, like, there's so many people in this game who sort of are going to need to do what the world has told them they can't do, right? Brock Purdy being at the front of the line. You are a product of having great teammates, all right? How about now? How about now? And then there's Brandon Ayuk. Oh, you're a $30 million receiver. You better be there and be that dog this weekend. And then there's even Kyle Shanahan. There's even Kyle Shanahan, who I know people are looking at it going, if you're the master of the scheme, then it should matter less who's out there. And I will say right now, I don't really buy in to any of those three narratives, which is why I kind of want to see it, because I actually have confidence that it's still going to look pretty good.
Yeah, and it should look pretty good. And he actually talked in his press conference about Jake Tonjes and his ability to come in and potentially replace George Kittle if Kittle's unable to go, and Saubert and what he's meant. So you won't have Debo and Christian McCaffrey for sure. We know that. And if George Kittle is out as well, then you start to think about exactly how it might look and, you know, how they'll go about not only scoring points, but winning the game. And it might be a little bit different. And, you know, we talked earlier to Jay Gruden, and something he said might actually be a thing that they focus on this weekend, which is it's okay sometimes to punt. And if you have a good defense, and the Niners do have a good defense, you could be a little bit more conservative. You can punt the ball to the Rams and know that your defense should be able to hold its water against a depleted offense.
All right, let's dive back into BA and see if you guys all want to talk about it again. 888-957-9570. Do you care about Brandon Ayuk's box score this weekend, or do you only care about the final score? I know everybody cares more about the final score, but are you looking at both? I'm a final score guy. Dibs, it sounds to me like you're going to be a little bit of a both, a final score and a box score. Check this out. A couple of guests we had earlier in the week. Mark Schlereth on basically the injuries and what that means for those who are still there.
This is what you paid Ayuk for, right? Ayuk is wanted to be a top three wide receiver, wanted to be paid like a top three wide receiver. Well, you know, I've said it from day one, you're not, so you're going to take less than that, and that's just the way I feel. But, hey, now you can prove me wrong, right? You can be the go-to guy in this offense, and you can be the guy that bails out Purdy, and you can be his, you know, his number one guy. Go show everybody that you know, you sat, you know, you held in, for instance, for a reason. And so now it's your opportunity to shine. And I think he needs to take that very seriously and go out there and be the guy that takes all the pressure off the injured guys that they have.
And then there's Kevin Harlan right between the Willard and Dibs. And here's what he said about Ayuk.
Ayuk, I think, is playing, you know, first of all, he's not in that football shape, and there is a difference. You can come and work on your core, and you can come after an off season of working with yoga guys and weight guys and run guys and meal guys and whoever else, the Dalai Lama, and you're until you're in that camp and in the everyday grind of practice and preparation and coaching, it's just not the same. And he's kind of in that stage right now. So his camp is kind of, I don't know how many looks he's getting, but clearly the production has been down from what we're used to seeing. I think that's just a blip, and he'll pick up, especially now that Debo may be on the side here for a bit, and he's going to have to. I mean, the moments of him kind of being in the background and not prominent for the first two games are over. He's got to step up, and he's got to kind of be like Juwan Jennings, quite frankly. He's got to be reliable. He's got to be there. And I think he'll meet the challenge.
All right. What is your Brandon Ayuk take for this weekend?
I kind of echo what Stink and what Kevin Harlan both were saying about him needing to be the go-to guy. And for me, this becomes all eyes on you, second Tupac reference for Brandon Ayuk. And yes, the first scoreboard, the team scoreboard is most important, and I will never not think that that's the case. So go out there and win the game, and no matter how that goes, if you win, that's great. Winning is better than losing. Let's put that aside. Beyond that, this is a big game for Brandon Ayuk, because you held in and you spent the whole summer on TikTok and not in camp, and you weren't ready to go for the preseason, and you weren't really ready for week one. You played decreased snaps. You had a couple of drops. You played more snaps in week two. You didn't have an impact, and now you've got a Hall of Famer, Christian McCaffrey, out. You've got Deebo Samuel, an All-Pro, out. You got George Kittle, possible Hall of Famer, best tight end in football, maybe out. So here you go, Brandon. You're the man. You're the money man. You're making $30 million a year. Go out there and show us. Show us how good you are. Show us the kind of impact you can make. And you can look at number one receivers around the league, and a lot of these guys are unguardable. And they are so good that even if the scheme isn't necessarily going their way right away, they still make an impact. And they still go out there and they have a big game, especially when your team needs you the most. So for me, two scoreboards, yes. Scoreboard number one, win the game, most important. Scoreboard number two, I'll be watching, is Brandon Ayuk. You're going to play probably every snap on offense if you can. You're not going to be subbed out, I wouldn't imagine, in any, even if they go to a 22 personnel, two running backs, two tight ends, that means one receiver. That's you, my guy. You're going to be that receiver. So my expectation for Brandon Ayuk is for him to go out there and make an impact and show the world why you're worth $30 million.
Okay, so, and here's my point. I accept all of that as the way it's going to be. It doesn't really matter to me. If Brandon Ayuk has a great season but a bad game this weekend, cool. I'll absolutely take that. I get the concept of where you're coming from, but my point is, it's sort of like, dude, Brandon, I tried to warn you, and who am I? But like, he should have known. He should have known. I would argue there are two wide receivers in the NFL right now who are getting this treatment. Even though there are 12 who got paid. A.J. Brown got paid. He can't even play. Justin Jefferson left with an injury. Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle have a concussed quarterback. We can go through the league and look at some of the guys. Amon-Ra had a really bad game in his first game. Lions won. Then he had a really great game week two. Lions lost. So I don't know who else is being held to this standard of, okay, hey, dude, you need to know, go now win us a game, except for two. There's only two. And they were the loud guys. Brandon Ayuk and Ja'Marr Chase. They're the two right now where people are sort of looking at them and doing so with a little bit of an edge, with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. And so my point is not that you're wrong or that I don't accept any of the things that you're saying. My point is to say that those who have said, hey, dude, now you're in, you made it in time, you made it, all is forgiven. I disagree. I think that this is not coming from, hey, man, there's a lot of other guys out. It'd be great if you stepped up. This is coming from the negotiation. This is coming from bleed over frustration that fans are feeling about the month of August and the month of July, too.
You could be right. And I also would say that that's fair. And that's the way that goes, because you mentioned it, and other guys who just came in and signed. The guy from Philadelphia, Smith.
A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith.
Devontae Smith, thank you.
Both this offseason, yes.
Devontae signed and was happy to take whatever he took, and there was never an acrimonious negotiation. And so the perception is that, oh, yeah, he got paid, but he got into camp, and he didn't miss camp, yeah. And he was ready to go. And week one, he played. And same with Amon-Ra. He got his money.
It was quiet.
He got paid. It was quiet. He came in. No big deal. This was different. This was tense. This was, oh my God, he's getting traded. Back in April, before the draft, it's like, I thought that he was getting traded before the draft. And then I thought he'd be signed. And then I thought he'd be traded again. Then I thought he was going to sign. Then I thought he'd be traded again. And This thing went on and on, and Pittsburgh still probably thinks they're at the 1 yard line.
Oh, man.
And, you know, shout out Pony, friend of the program.
That was a good body shot, right?
That
there.
Was tough. That was but a good one. Yeah. The reality was, this thing went on and on, back and forth, and finally he signed, okay, all right, Brandon, time to go play football. And so far through two games, he has not lived up to the contract. Right. And it hasn't really mattered because you didn't lose to Minnesota because he wasn't great. You lost to Minnesota for other reasons. So now, okay, Brandon, now we need you.
Like, let me throw something out, and this is not, don't take any point from this. This is a genuine question now. I don't hear anyone coming off of a bad game, by the way, saying, hey, Trent, better open every hole. Jordan Mason better go for 100 yards because we need you. The passing game is completely hampered. No Debo. There might not be George. We can't have Christian catching balls out of the backfield. Hey, Trent, Mr. Holdout, you better be perfect this weekend. Why not? What's the difference?
Well, a couple differences.
Okay.
One, he's been fantastic in the run game. And in the pass game, he's been, last game, he was a little shaky.
Yep.
He allowed four pressures, I believe.
And a sack.
Yes, the pressure rate right now for Brock Purdy is 29% of dropbacks, which is fifth worst in the league. How much of that is on Trent? A lot. He is the captain of the O-line. He's, according to Jay Gruden, the best left tackle in the history of football. So yeah, a lot of pressure is on Trent. But the reason why he's not getting the same scrutiny is because the average Joe, shout out Dodgeball, the average Joe doesn't watch the game with his eyes on Trent Williams. And you don't really know how Trent's doing unless there's holding penalties, false starts, or just out-and-out mistakes where he whiffs on a guy. It's a lot easier to see a wide receiver not get targeted and drop the ball than it is to really break down offensive line play.
I mean, and again, the reason I bring it up is to further drive home the point I'm trying to make.
No, and your point is well taken.
And the point, and
which was Trent's whole thing was quiet.
There is quiet, a penalty for doing this. There's a penalty for doing this. All is not forgiven, even if you say it is. And I'm with you. I'm with everybody. Nobody is out here rooting against Brandon Ayuk. Nobody's even getting impatient, I don't think. Although it sounds like people might this weekend if things don't look the way that they want it to look or whatever. I'm not getting impatient. I want Brandon Ayuk's five-year contract to be good. I don't need it to be this weekend. It would be good. I understand that there will be focus on him. I understand that maybe his role is heightened in the wake of all of these other injuries. But I'm more focused on Niners win the game. And oh, by the way, the overall picture of Brandon Ayuk be good. But my observation is that we have not forgiven Brandon Ayuk. We have not. Like, there is still feeling there, which is why we've suddenly, it's like, okay, now let's see it. I mean, that's kind of, I mean, Schlereth said it, Harlan in a much sort of like lighter way. You've said it. A lot of our callers, our texters, all of it, YouTube, everyone has said it.
Yeah.
Let's see it now. I don't know if you can really do that to a wide receiver in one game. You know what I mean? It's very,
well, you can, because
it's circumstantial, though.
But
you can't control your shots when you're a wide receiver.
You can't, but when you have no Debo and no McCaffrey, and Kittle, at the very least, will be compromised, and he'll be listed as questionable. He didn't practice today with a hamstring, so you look at the weapons. If Kittle doesn't go, you're looking at Juwan Jennings, Jordan Mason, Eric Saubert, and Brandon Ayuk. And maybe a collection of Cowing and Garendo and whoever else you want to sprinkle in there. Point being, of the five eligibles that we all talk about, the first name guys, Brandon and George, Debo and Christian, and you know, you start to run through Juwan. A lot of these guys aren't going to be there, but the one guy who is Brandon Ayuk, so now's your chance. It reminds me a little bit of the Warriors when you've got Steph and Clay out, and Draymond maybe is missing as well. Andrew Wiggins. All right, Wiggs, time to cook. Let Wiggs cook. And so you think about, it's a Wiggins game where you hope he goes out there and gives you 28.
You hope.
And he probably won't. And it's the same thing with Ayuk where, yeah, he can't control his targets, but he's going to get the majority of chances.
Well, I think that, yeah, basketball for me is the one where you can do this a little bit easier, which right. is that you can control your own aggressiveness. You have decisions that are happening on every possession when you get the ball, if you're going to take it to the rack or not. A wide receiver has some control over it. Yeah, you can play well. You can get wide open. Chances are if you do that, you're going to end up getting the ball. The chances are. But it's not automatic. The quarterback's got to play well. The offensive line's got to play well. So that's all I'm saying. And I don't know what the defense is going to do. If all the resources go toward Brandon, and that means Juwan Jennings goes for $120, like, that's an example of what I would rather not hear. I would rather not on Monday, Juwan Jennings goes for 100 yards, Brandon goes for 38, Niners win by 10. We're going to get that caller that's like, oh, so Juwan Jennings is our best receiver now.
Yeah.
Juwan Jennings.
That's right.
And it's like, well, just hold on. You know what I mean?
John Salad.
Thank you. It's one game. So that, and I, as I said earlier, none of you are wrong. I totally get it. I choose to not kind of like hate watch the game like that. I don't want to be like Brock drops back and you better be open, Brandon. I just want to watch the 49ers and see them play well.
Of course, but when you pick through it and you watch it for a second time, and when we break it down more than we do just, oh, you know, Niners win, great, end of the show. No, we're going to go through every aspect of it. And one thing Jay Gruden said to us earlier that I'm going to be watching for is how many times Brandon Ayuk will be the primary in the pass game, where the play is set up for Brandon Ayuk to go out there and be the primary pass catcher. And that's something that, you know, when you have Debo and you have George and you have Christian, you don't necessarily need to highlight any one player. And you look at last year for a good example, the targets were spread pretty evenly from George, Christian, Debo, and Brandon Ayuk. They all had about the same number of targets. Well, in this game on Sunday,
yeah,
Brandon Ayuk should get the majority of the routes where he is the primary receiver.
You would think. I get that. Yeah, Will in East Bay here on Willie and Dibby. Hi, Will. Thanks for calling.
Well, it's good to talk to you guys again. How are we tonight?
We're so good.
Couldn't be better if you were twins, I'm sure. Anyway, there was a great movie starring Edward James Olmos. The movie was Stand and Deliver, okay?
Great movie.
Brandon Ayuk. Oh, look, it's fantastic. Yep. Brandon Ayuk, you got the big bags, Stand and Deliver. Brock Purdy, Trent Williams, George, Stand and Deliver. Nick, on the other side, you got the big bag, Stand and Deliver. Fred, you are a shining example. Inspire them, Stand and Deliver. And by the way, the only exception I have, Willard, there's only 17 games, okay? To sit there and hold players out in baseball, 162 games, even basketball, there's only 17 games. I mean, like George Allen and the Ram coach, Washington once said, the future is now. I mean, it's right now. There's no exception. Well, anyway, that's all I got to say, yeah. Unless you want to respond.
No, Will, we do want to respond, we'll take it from here, Will. But it's a good call. I think it kind of captures the essence of what I'm saying. Here's maybe a better way to say it. I'm not going to hold Brandon to a new standard this weekend because he made $30 million and teammates are hurt. I'm holding him to the same standard that I always do. And quite frankly, it's kind of the same standard that I hold all 49ers to. Play well. Like, I think you're the best football team in the league, or have the opportunity to be, at least. You have that opportunity. You're all making good money. Like, I want you all to be buttoned up. I want you all to give your best aggressiveness, all of your best effort, all of those things, every week, regardless of circumstance. So nothing about Brandon Ayuk for me raises this weekend because Debo's hurt and Christian's hurt. It's already there.
Yeah.
I held it to him last weekend, the weekend before that, and that didn't go well, by the way.
That's where I disagree, because the import of Brandon Ayuk this week is higher because you don't have those other guys. So, yes, the bar has already been high for Brandon Ayuk because you're a member of a very good team and you expect a lot from a guy making $30 million. But when you have other skill guys not playing, for me, the bar gets raised because now the need for Brandon Ayuk to play and be impactful is much greater than if you have George and Debo.
I mean, you're not
week one against the Jets, it wasn't that critical for him to play well.
But you don't know that going in. You know what I mean? I get, like, it's not like you're not saying that he can go three-quarter speed in games where other weapons are there, are you?
No, but what I'm saying is when you have other weapons, it's not as important for one guy to stand up and have a monster game because you can share the load like you did all year last year.
You got other weapons. They may not be as devastatingly good. Right. But you got there's still plenty of people to tote the rock and catch the ball and all that stuff.
Of course, but this Brandon Ayuk is a second team all pro who's making $30 million. So the contract is a part of the expectation. And part of the expectation goes, for me, around the fact that you don't have your other all pros in the lineup.
All right, plenty of time still for you to weigh in on this. Does Brandon Ayuk's box score matter or only the final score? 888-957-9570. We are sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. This is Willard and Dibbs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm an old man. It's one of the most ignorant statements I've ever heard.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
This got a lot of run today. Does this do anything for you? You ready for this?
Bring it.
This is with Up and Adams. We love the Kay Adams Show, FanDuel TV. And she talked to DeSean Jackson. Take a listen.
Andy's not on the board. You can't pick Andy. Who's the best coach in the NFL?
Right now, present, or just all time?
Present.
Ooh. Best coach right now in the NFL. I'm gonna go Sean McVay.
Does that bother you at all?
He's gonna go Sean McVay.
Well, it's just funny. You know what I took from this? And maybe this is, again, you know how we talk about sometimes our echo chamber, like where we're in sports media and this stuff gets talked about. I don't think that this was like a ripple effect through the sports world today or through the Bay Area at all. But the people I talked to, like, this gathered everyone's attention almost as if it was like, whoa, Sean McVay. Or, first of all, it's DeSean Jackson's opinion. It's one person. I don't think that Sean McVay is some sort of an offensive answer to that question, is it?
Like, no.
I mean...
Well, it depends on what you're basing it upon. Now, if you want to talk about success, overall team success, well, he's got a Super Bowl. And yep. Kyle Shanahan doesn't.
Yep.
Mike Tomlin's got one. Mike Tomlin doesn't get a lot of run for best coach in the league. I believe he is now the longest tenured with his team in pro football. So he should get more, I think, more run than he does.
John Harbaugh
is that guy.
That may never come up.
It should.
Yep.
Because his teams always win, and he's got a Super Bowl as well. So it just comes down to what you value when you're going to give that answer. It's easy for us to say Kyle Shanahan outside of Andy because we see it, and we see what he does with, you know, undrafted running backs, and we see the offensive scheme. And he also has had a great run of success, and he's been to the NFC Championship game with 3 straight years. And 4 of the last 5. Yep. So I think we've seen his sustained success up close and personal. And so a lot of us would say outside of Andy, he would be the guy.
You know, it's also interesting about that whole thing. I didn't love the fact that it's her show. She can do it however she wants. And she's probably right to do this because it is sort of the stock answer now. But I don't love that it's just, like, it's automatic that Andy Reid's the best coach in the NFL. I don't see it that way. And again, I understand where everyone's coming from because of all the Super Bowls in recent years. But what you'll notice with all of these coaches, like you just brought up Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin is a very good coach. Mike Tomlin's teams make the playoffs a lot.
Never had a losing record.
Right. But why has Mike Tomlin struggled to really like have a good playoff team the last 4 or 5 years? Why?
He's got no quarterback.
Thank you. So why do the head coaches who suddenly go on a great run, what do we notice about them?
They have good quarterbacks.
Like, and so Andy, it's hard to do. I don't want to take any credit from him. But Andy's been coaching forever, and he's always been a really good coach. But the only reason he's an automatic answer now for best coach in the league is because he's got Patrick. And John Harbaugh is on a sustained run of success because he has Lamar Jackson. And we'll see. That's why Kyle, I find to be so fascinating, because most would argue that his first run of success with the 49ers came with a mediocre quarterback.
Yeah.
And now it's coming with someone who we think is a good quarterback, but is this lightning rod and polarized sort of human being with regard to, is he good? Is he great? Should he be paid?
Some think that this guy's also mediocre. And if this guy, Brock Purdy, is also mediocre, then that should elevate Kyle Shanahan as a coach.
You.
And this is me borrowing from your playbook. And I think that you look at Andy Reid, and he's 129-51 with the Chiefs, and he was 130-93 with Philly. So
fantastic coach.
You could say Andy Reid, and you could look beyond just having Patrick Mahomes, because he was really good in Philadelphia, and obviously he's been better with Patrick Mahomes as any head coach would be.
But like, let's look at McVay and Shanahan versus Reid, right? Isn't it somewhat like, is it more impressive to get the dude, the face of the league, and you get multiple Super Bowls, or McVay and Shanahan? I know McVay won one and Kyle has not, but McVay and Shanahan have both taken multiple quarterbacks to the Super Bowl. That, to me, is a real feather in the cap. That's really great. That's pretty interesting to me that you can put together an offense that's going to get you all the way to February and do it with different QBs.
Agreed, and I do think that there is a discussion to have, and maybe we can have it tomorrow as we sit in Rams week, about Sean McVay versus Kyle Shanahan, because McVay's got a better regular season win percentage, and he's got a Lombardi. Kyle has the head-to-head edge. I believe the Niners have won 7 of the last 9 against the Rams. Correct. One of the losses, unfortunately, was in the NFC Championship game. Yep.
And the other one doesn't count because everybody was sick.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But of the last 9, Shanahan has dominated McVay, except for the really, really big game where McVay beat Shanahan and McVay has a Lombardi and Shanahan doesn't. So the answer from DeSean Jackson doesn't offend me. I don't know if either one of them would be on my number two. I would probably put John Harbaugh ahead of both of them.
Would you?
Just for what he's done. And you mentioned multiple quarterbacks. He took Joe Flacco and won a Super Bowl.
Correct.
And I don't think that Joe Flacco is as good as Matthew Stafford or Brock Purdy.
I agree with you. And he, by the way, you know, the Ravens, who have often done it with defense, they won that Super Bowl where both teams scored over 30 points. Like, it was actually an offensive battle. Joe Flacco was really, really good. So, no, that's fair, although he hasn't taken a different quarterback to the Super Bowl. It's just Joe Flacco,
yep.
and Lamar has come really close. I, you know, look,
11 playoff berths for Baltimore.
I think that it's also, yeah, it's quality, and the coach gets credit for this. It's the quality of the whole picture that you've built. And if people do want to know, another one of the reasons why I will back Kyle until we are backs up against the cliff, I will back him. And it's not about what we usually talk about with Kyle. Oh, the play call, and you run, and you didn't know the overtime rules. Look what he built. He built this city. He built
Jefferson Starship.
He did it, man. This was crap when he got here. And look what he built. He built a sustainable, quality organization. Ravens, Chiefs. You can see him around the league. The Patriots were. We'll see kind of where it goes in the post-Belichick era. But, like, you can see, like, why do the Bengals have this awesome quarterback? And then I know they went to a Super Bowl, and I know he's been hurt. But I also feel like the Bengals are habitual underachievers. And the reason for that is the quality of the backbone of the organization.
The culture.
Yeah. And it's not great. It's not great. It's how you get a star receiver to crater your season before the season even starts. And, you know, the Niners maybe flirted with that this year. A little different. Because he's not as much of the dude as Ja'Marr Chase is in Cincinnati. But that's a, you know, and McVay to a degree has done that as well with the Rams. They built a backbone of an organization, and it's been sustainable and quality every year, unless you kind of like lose all your key people. If you don't lose, if you're McVay and you're Shanahan and you're Reed and you're John Harbaugh, and you don't lose your quarterback for the season, you're going to be pretty good. You're at minimum going to be pretty good.
And that's why I lean toward Mike Tomlin, because of what you were saying about their quarterback. And since Big Ben, they haven't really had one. And yet, he 9-8 every year. He's never a team with a losing record. They've made 11 playoff berths since he's been there. His win percentage is .633. And I do think that coaching at the NFL level, especially, it comes down to more than just, you know, your play calling defensively or offensively. It's about you coaching your coaches. It's about your culture. It's about whether or not you win. It's also about how you win. And Mike Tomlin's gone about winning, not always being a dominant team or a Super Bowl team, but they've been good, and they've done it without a ton of talent in many times.
Yeah, and you go about it in all kinds of different ways. And sometimes it does come down to, you know, I think the Super Bowl this year is one of those where it is a little bit tough on Kyle Shanahan because of some of the things that happened in the game. But you bring up that loss, the NFC title game to the Rams. I mean, most Niner fans, I think, of the first thing they think of in that game is what? It's not Kyle. Shaquasti Cart.
Right.
He dropped the ball. Is that Kyle's fault? Do they win if he catches it? I don't know for sure. Probably. Well, probably.
And we always like to look at one play.
Of course.
And so the one play.
No,
Kwaski Tart is the GOAT because he dropped an interception.
No, there's 1,000 different plays, but when you're at the end of a game and there is a play that can swing almost everything in your face, like Saquon Barkley on Monday night.
Yeah.
Catch the ball. Game's over. Was that everything that happened in the game? Obviously not. But when you do it at the end, and it kind of looks like it would have changed the outcome.
Yeah. It feels bigger.
We're going to remember.
Certainly.
So, Grandy, what are you doing here in a couple minutes?
The Morning Roast actually was having a similar conversation, the one you're having right now, about Sean McVay. So we're going to lead off with that, and then we're going to hear Jay Gruden on with you guys.
Okay, yeah. Beautiful. Jay Gruden, who, by the way, he had some things to say earlier in the week with regard to Kyle Shanahan's, not his coaching, but situationally, when he is in known passing downs, less than impressive. And so we brought him on, and we talked it out a little bit, and it was pretty dang interesting. So here comes Grandy, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with absolutely no compromises. We are fading the divers tonight. But do you want to do it again tomorrow?
I'll let you know.
Okay.
So far, no. Alan Lazard, get out of here.
7-0 Jets.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Possible sick day. I did have a little scratchy throat this morning.
There goes all those points that you got.
Whatever.
They're already gone.
And they're on the move.
Yeah. You're damn right they are.
Tackle somebody, Patriots.
For Dibs, for Granny, for Lucas.
Whatever.
I'm Mark. Shoot your shot.
That's all you got.
I know.
They're one of the most ignorant statements I've ever heard.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.